probably conclude the study this morning on the spirit, the soul, and the body, and the framework and the makeup of a human being. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity this morning we have to come together and to study your word. As we take that time this morning again, may all things be done to bring honor, glory, and magnify your name. And through it, may the saints be edified, and then may we be the ministers of reconciliation to the world that we should be in light of what we've become in Christ. And as again, we thank you for all things through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, most holy and precious name we pray. Amen. We'll go through this real quick because I want to get to where we left off last week in record timing, I hope. Well, in about 5-10 minutes. All right? Ready? Let's do this. All right. As we've been going over the essence of a human being, the essence of man, we want to pray, God, our whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the way that we should look up at the makeup of a human being. We, as we bring up every week, like to look at it and say it is body, soul, and spirit, because we want to put the looks on this guy. This is who we want to be. We want to look at ourselves. That is not to be the case. We want our spirit. And the spirit is referred to as the what in the scripture? Your mind. Your soul is next. Look at this guy. Not this guy. Look at the spirit. Find out what you've become in Christ. Find out who you are and what you've become. Who's living inside you right now? Christ is living inside you. We'll look at Galatians 2:20 later. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but who lives in me? Christ lives in me. We want to have his mind. We want to have that mind of Christ. Then once we put this guy in perspective and put him as number one, then we go to the soul. And we make this work on this. The soul is often referred to as to what in Scripture? Your heart. Your heart is your personality. It's who you are. It's what makes you you. If I say Galen, Galen is a good, has a good heart. That's saying that I think he or has a good soul. That means he has, boy, I get, hi, how are you? I'm great. Try that again. If I say Galen is a good soul, I'm saying that Galen has a good heart. If I say Tracy has a good soul, I was going to say it, and I thought, maybe I ought not do that.
I said it because I knew Galen would.
If I say Tracy has a good soul, I'm saying he has a good heart. Nadine, would you say your husband has a good heart?
Not last night.
You know, I love Nadine because I always know when I ask a question like that, I know she's going to give an answer completely the opposite of what everybody else would. I love you, dear. All right. Then we look at the body. The body is, wow, I wobbled there a little bit, didn't I? The body, very simply, is your flesh. In my flesh dwelleth how many good things? That's why you don't want to look at this guy first. Would you say that looking at Jesus Christ is the epitome of excellence? I would. I want to focus on this guy first, which transforms this guy. And if my heart is in the right place, if my soul is in the right place, it motivates this guy to go out and be the minister of reconciliation that we should be because of what we've been given in Christ. There. Now, we've gone over just recently, so we'll do this quickly too, the condition of each because of this guy. if I am not saved, or if even to the point where if I'm focusing on this guy rather than this guy, what do I focus on? Myself. And typically, as Bob Beam being who Bob Beam is, was Bob Beam a sinner? How do you think this guy operated in light of sin? Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse number 28. Romans 1, 28. But even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to what kind of a mind? Reprobate mind. To do those things which are not convenient. You do those things that are not becoming a minister of reconciliation of the world. Mostly because if you're not saved, are you a minister of reconciliation of the world? No, you're a minister for yourself. You're looking at who, what you want and things that you desire and the things that you need. If I'm looking at a reprobate mind, that's a meaningless mind. It's worthless. There's no profit in it whatsoever. Your spirit, as a result, is dead. Does not mean that it does not exist. If I'm not saved and I'm standing here talking this morning, in the light of the Lord, in the eyes of the Lord, I am dead in His sight. There is nothing that brings any kind of profit to Him whatsoever. The soul is in the same business. If my focus is on myself and my wants and my desires, am I doing anything that brings profit unto God? No, not at all. And the body is in the same boat. But on the other, in fact, go to Isaiah 64. Let's look at that body for a second. You know where we're going, don't you? Isaiah 64. Verse number 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousnesses are as filthy what? Rags. In my flesh dwelleth how many good things? No good thing. In and of itself, when this is dead, your spirit is dead, does not mean it does not exist. It just means your spirit is not functioning in a way that brings any profit or reward unto God. There's nothing there. Your soul, your heart also is dead and does nothing to please unto God. And this guy, at this point in time, is the guy that's in charge anyway, isn't he? He wants to go out and he wants to do what he wants to do. How many times I've heard in Christian churches, saved churches, woohoo, look at what I'm doing for Jesus. No. No. Absolutely not. It's not what I'm doing for Jesus. It's who living inside me that's working for the Lord. It's His life that matters. It's His life that means everything. And because it's His life, then my focus changes. It takes my focus off of this guy, takes my focus off of a dead heart, puts the focus on what I am in Christ. It's who I am and what I've become. Now, last week we went over the first point. Let me find the eraser. Or, in this case, not find the eraser. Ah! Tracy, what'd you do with the eraser? It's probably right in front of me here. Bear with me one second. Take the patch off and wipe it off. Oh, we're fine. I'm sorry, bud.
I'm here. I'm on your good eyesight. So.
Aha!
If it was a snake,
No sense being crazy unless you show it. That's my motto, and I'm sticking to it. All right. Now that I've used my hand, and my skin is darkened like sin, it's black, it's evil, right? What's that?
You like what my wife says, so that's
I love you anyway. In spite of yourself. How about that? All right. The condition of each because of salvation. The spirit, because it's saved, is made. Boy, I can't write today either. It's made alive. Your spirit upon salvation is made alive. If you would with me, go to Ephesians chapter 2. This is where we left off last week, and we'll build upon that now. As an unsaved individual, your spirit is dead. Does not mean it doesn't exist. Just means that it's not functioning for the purpose it was intended. Remember Tracy teaching that line here not too long ago. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. And you hath he what? And what does quicken mean? It's been made alive. And you hath he quickened, who were what? Dead. And how are you dead? In what? In trespasses, in sins. That spirit was dead. Does not mean it wasn't not made alive. It means that it's not functioning for the purpose for which it was intended to function for. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. How is it made alive? Ephesians chapter 1. And verse number... Verse number 13. In whom ye also trusted after ye heard... Oh my goodness gracious, what made the difference in your life? The what? The word of truth. The moment you heard the doctrine, the moment you heard Scripture, the moment that I heard in the house that I now live that used to be her parents' home, the moment they gave the gospel, and it was probably for the thousandth and first time, for the first thousand times it didn't register, but that extra time they told me, you know, you only need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and trust that finished work of His shed blood at Calvary's cross. And the moment you trust in that, you're given the gift of everlasting life. And Shazam, it registered. And I heard that word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom ye also, after ye believed, ye were sealed with what? The Holy Spirit, a promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of my glory. Atta girl. Who gets all the glory for my salvation? God does. Because he took and he transformed me from a sinner to a saint. He took and he gave me the gift of everlasting life, gave me the life of Christ that's now living inside me. And I have been changed. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what? When I heard the message of the gospel and I accepted Christ as my Savior and I received the gift of everlasting life, I was transformed. And all honor and glory doesn't belong to me. It belongs to him. Because he took me and he changed me from a sinner to a saint. And the reason that I will be able to stand in front of him, well, if I'm smart, I'll be on my knees, whatever my knees look like in glory. I get down and I give him all praise, honor, and glory, and worship belongs to him because he changed me. And this spirit is made why is that bad? Whew. I'm alive. And I've been given that gift of everlasting life. It is no longer dead. it is no longer deceased. It's alive. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I believe, is what I have in my notes. Well, let's look at verse 10. I shouldn't skip verse 10 at all. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? There it is again. Where does our spirit reside? In us. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. We don't have the spirit of the world anymore. That spirit of the world is gone. It's been eliminated. And his spirit now resides. His spirit communicates with our spirit. And the spirit works where now? Again? In what? The scripture. That spirit, when I got that word, transformed me, transformed you from a sinner to a saint. The Spirit, let's look at that again. The Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. Those deep things that we've been given, understanding and the full recognition of what we become in Christ. That Spirit's now alive. That Spirit works inside us. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse number 6. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 6. For God hath commended the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our, what? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of who? Jesus Christ. He's taken us and transformed us where the focus is not on me anymore. The focus is completely and entirely on him in the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness. We no longer have darkness. It's been removed, and we have the light and the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When the focus is on what we become in Christ, it changes our heart, it changes our soul in light of what we've been transformed into. And once this has been transformed, guess what else can be transformed? Your body. Your body can be changed, and it's subject to change based upon what we realize and recognize as saints in Christ. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter number 12. In light of our spirit being made alive, and the recognition of what we have through Scripture, transforming our heart, transforming our soul to match what we become in Christ. In Romans 12, verse number 1, guess what happens to your body? I beseech you, in light of these things, I beg you, I implore you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a what? Transform your body in light of who you've become and what you've become. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is, what's that say? I want you to think of something. Great to see, as we mentioned a moment ago, Brother Galen this morning. We missed you, buddy. Love you. Here's Galen. He looks at that verse and he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Galen, doesn't it make sense? I used to be a sinner. Now in the eyes of the Lord, I'm a saint. I used to be sin incarnate. Now I no longer have that issue. In the eyes of God, is my sin gone? Completely, entirely obliterated. In light of that, isn't it our reasonable service, in light of those things, that we present our bodies as a living sacrifice? Roberto, missed you last week, brother. You and your bride. Talked to him many times here. Great guy. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? He said, yes. Mm-hmm. Clearly heard that, right? Mm-hmm. He's trusted Christ as a Savior. You have been transformed from a sinner to a saint. Isn't it your reasonable service to serve him? He just said, yep. Man, a few words. That's a good thing, too. You ought to go for politics, you know that? You wouldn't say much. You just make action happen, wouldn't you? Don't do that. You're a good guy. In light of what we become in Christ, it's our reasonable service to serve him. Look at what it can do for us. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Wife got me several years ago for Christmas a new Bible. And it's sitting right next to my bed. I still have Old Faithful here. The old one that I have all kinds of notes in it, where the pages are coming apart, pages are falling out. We are creatures of habit. Because I know Romans 8 in this Bible is over here. In my Bible at home, Romans 8 is in the Bible, but it's over here. There's a difference between here and here, in my mind. We're funny. I appreciate you getting that Bible. And from what I can see of this one, it's soon going to take priority. That's why you took your mother's Bible, because you knew where everything was, didn't you? Creatures of habit. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. Verse 15. Let's go there. Can't miss that verse. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That book is amazing. It says it's given by inspiration of God, and it brings profit to you. It's profitable for doctrine. It's able to show you the knowledge and wisdom of God. For reproof. If I reprove Earl, or I should say we'll do it the other way around, if Earl reproves me, if he sees I'm doing something wrong and he comes up to me and he says, Bob, I want to show you something. I see a verse here, and this is what this verse means. And I think this would make an impact in your life. Is it reproving me? Yeah. For correction. Hey, Bob, you're doing something wrong. Here's how we correct that. For instruction in righteousness. Shows me how to live a life based on who I am in Christ. Righteousness. That the man of God may be what? You know what that book has the ability to do? Shows you how to be perfect. Throughly furnished unto how many good works? Wow. What a book. And it's able to take and show my spirit give me knowledge, change my heart, change my body to operate and function based on who I am in Christ. It has the ability to take my body and do what's right. And I can be perfect, truly furnished unto how many good works again? Every single solitary one of them. And all honor and glory belongs to who? Because he changed me. Because he transformed me. You know the passage, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Robert Beam, insert name. Galen Bloom, insert name. Nad Lean, insert name. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Am I still alive? Does it look like I'm still here? Kind of look kind of dopey with this patch on my head, but hey, I'm still here. Don't answer that, Keith. I already know I look dopey. He's looking at me on TV back here. Look at that dopey Bob, right? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but who lives inside me? And in light of who's living inside me, I want to be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto how many good works? Every single solitary one. And I allow that life of Christ to work through me. And when I live the life of Christ, all honor and glory is to who? God. In this instance, I'm thinking of at the moment, Jesus Christ. All honor and glory goes to him because he has empowered me through his holy word. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And who is called the word of God? Jesus Christ. Take and embody and empower me to be the best I can possibly be, not for any honor and glory going to me, but all honor and glory going to him. What a great Savior we have. What an amazing Savior we have. There's an eraser. Let's get rid of this for a minute. It's a good thing Bob brings up that glass of water. Let's do about a 5 or 10 minute synopsis on what we've discussed over these past several weeks. In my what dwelleth no good thing? In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For how to will, I want to do what's right, but do I do what's right? No. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse number 1. Turn the page, Robert. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. And you hath he quickened. Who were what? That spirit. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and what? As unsaved people, our spirit is dead. Brief synopsis on what we've gone over. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17. Now, Paul is writing to a saved church. a magnificent church. Ephesians is a fantastic book. Sometime we should do a study exclusively to the book of Ephesians. That should only take about the remainder of my life and beyond. William will have to take over, right? Right, William? He's a good guy. I like him. Verse 17, "This I say and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in a vanity of their" what? Isn't your mind, as it's discussed in Scripture, the Spirit? Shake your head yes. Remember, we've gone over that. Rhonda's shaking her head. She's doing good. Reminds me of that little puppy dog that's in the back of the car with a head that bubbles up and down like this here. Yep. Love all you guys. You know that, right? Right. Don't walk as other Gentiles walk. Paul's telling this church at Ephesus, I don't want you walking like the rest of the world. You've been taken from that, and you've been transformed. I don't want you to walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Is there anything positive in something that's vain? No. In the world's mind it is, but in the eyes of the Lord, it means nothing. It's meaningless. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14. Ready? Verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what unto him? How many people do you think out there right now that exist, that are not saved, that are lost, that are not looking at the things of the Lord at all? They look at what we're doing here. You know what they think we are? They think we're fools. Neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually what? They don't get it. They spiritually don't have the smarts to pick up the Scripture. I mean, suppose I would have met Tracy. How many years have we known each other besides a whole bunch? Met you in about 1985, I think, ish. I heard that, and I'm not going to repeat it, but it made me laugh. If I would have met Tracy when I was a senior in high school, when I was thinking about being a priest, and he came up to me and said, "Hey, Bob, I'm going to show you how to have the gift of everlasting life," you know what I would have thought he was? Thought he was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But where was the problem? Was it in him? Or would the problem been me? Because I was a fool. I pity the fool. Mr. T, remember him? Our soul. This is dead. Our soul is, guess what? Surprise, surprise, surprise. Dead. Romans chapter 1. We looked at this just a short while ago. Romans 1:21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was what? Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5. Go there real quick. Genesis 6, verse number 5. And God saw the wickedness, verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. How much? Can you imagine being constantly evil? When I was not a saved man, when I was lost in sin, guess what I was? Now, it would have been tough for you to come to me and say, "Bob, you're evil. I beg your pardon." What? I'm a good guy. I know I am. I do this, that, and the other thing. I help the little old lady across the street. I pet puppy dogs, and I love kitty cats. Well, guess what? That doesn't mean anything. That will give you not 1 ounce of eternal life. Never, ever, ever, ever. No matter how many little old ladies I help across the street. Don't matter. Too bad. Vanity of my mind, my thoughts of my heart were only evil continually. This is referred to, go back here, Bob, where the soul is. Your heart is only evil constantly. Romans 6, verse number 20. Our body, what about our body? Wow, I got to get moving. I was worried I had enough material. There are times, I know Galen would profess this and Tracy would profess this. You have notes, you write them down, you think, I should have enough to last a week, and you find out there's about enough there for four. How about it? You ever do that, Galen? Oh, yeah. Romans 6, verse number 20. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from what? Guess how much righteousness I had in my flesh. In my flesh dwelleth how many good things? None. 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 Absolutely none. Romans chapter 8, verse number 8. So they that are in the flesh can please God. What? Stupid patch, what does it know anyway? For in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. None. Zero. Tell you what, if I would have died still in my sin, I would have been, as the majority of the world is, in big trouble. Big trouble. I did it again. What'd I do with the eraser? Aha! On the other hand, what happens when we're saved? What happens as a result of that? Our spirit, if you would, back to Ephesians 2 again. Quick rehash of what we've done over the past several weeks. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. And ye hath he what? Quicken means what? Who were dead in trespasses and sins. It says here, our spirit is alive. It's quickened. When I was lost, was this spirit lost in trespasses and sins? What about now? I've been transformed from a sinner to a saint. Our soul, what happened to our soul? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse number 6. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our what? What's our heart? Is our heart our soul? To give light and the knowledge and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And this guy, it too is now alive. And it gets to be able to recognize the things that are freely given to us by the Scripture as it enlightens us and empowers us and shines a light upon us. What about our bodies? Does that cause it to change? Romans chapter 6. Romans 6 and verse number 13. Romans 6:13. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are what? From the dead. And your members as instruments of what? Your flesh can be righteous. Now imagine that. Your flesh can be righteous. According to that passage we read in 2 Timothy a little while, perfectly furnished unto how many good works? Your flesh can bring profit. Not because it's anything special. This body's still going to the ground from whence it came from. But for what time I have here in this life, I can be a minister of righteousness and a minister of godliness based upon the scripture. My body brings forth fruit. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This brings profit. But profit to who? The things of the Lord God, not to me. All praise, honor, and glory goes to who? To God. Because he took this lost soul and transformed him from a sinner to a saint, and it gives me the ability based on the scripture to transform me and show me the truth as it resides in scripture. It's time to wrap up. Let's close in a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this opportunity we've had again to come together to study your word. As we have taken that time this morning, may the things which have been said and done brought all glory, honor, and respect to you. May we be the able-bodied ministers of reconciliation to the world. And all praise go to you. Through Christ Jesus' most holy and precious name we pray. Amen.